If you got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you're turning, I'll tell you a quick story. A few years ago, our family was on a trip and we were flying, and that's always an adventure to do with kids. Our kids have always loved to get on an airplane when they get the chance, and it has nothing to do with looking out the window or taking in the view or anything like that. In fact, if you were to ask them when they were little, hey, what was the favorite part of your trip? It didn't matter where we were or what we were doing. We could be in the greatest place in the world. They'd say their favorite part of the trip was the airplane. And that's because when they were little, we would let them play with these little kid tablets when they were on a plane. And that was a treat for them. They didn't get to play with them at home. They were reserved for like road trips, driving a long way to visit family or something, or a trip on a plane. And we'd give it to them, and you sort of know what they can do, right? On those planes, you know, you could get your tablet out and you could read a book, or you could play games, or you could watch a movie. And they just really, really enjoyed doing that. And so we're halfway through the flight, and all of a sudden, I sort of hear a kid's show, like a cartoon, playing really loudly in the plane. And I look over across the aisle where one of my kids is sitting, and as I look at him sitting there, I realize that he's got that thing propped up, and he's watching a movie on the deal, and he's got his headphones on, but his headphones aren't plugged in to the tablet there. And so the sound is filling the plane, and I'm looking over, other people are looking over, and he's just sitting there completely oblivious to the fact that he is not plugged in. He's missing out, right? He's not getting the full experience that he could have right there in front of him. Everybody else is. We can see it, we can hear it, we know the plot, the lines, the jokes, we're hearing it all. And so I didn't tap him in the shoulder, I didn't embarrass him. I just sort of reached over, found the end of the cord, and I plugged him in. And when I plugged him in, he got this huge smile on his face, right? Like everything changed for him in an instant. He looks over at me with this big grin, and he's giving me a thumbs up, like, hey, this is really, really great. And I'm like, yeah, bud, it's really, really great. And everybody else appreciates this now. Here's the deal. He plugged in, and his experience went to the next level, right? Went to the next level. He was close. He was really close. But until he was plugged in and he was missing out. If he didn't plug in, he could have lost interest really quick. He could have maybe not understood what was going on. He could have put that thing down and moved on to something else. And here's the sad reality. I've met a lot of people that are in that same boat as him, and they don't even really know it. And in fact, maybe as we go through 1 Thessalonians 2 this morning, you'll realize, okay, maybe that's me. Maybe I'm close, but I'm not plugged in. I'm not connected. The picture that we're going to get from God's word this morning of believers, of Christians, is this deep and connected relationship with one another. There's an amazing blessing that God gives us when we trust in Him as our Lord and Savior. We did a lot of Ephesians earlier this year, and we saw in Ephesians that when we trust in Christ, that we are adopted into the spiritual family. And the longer I'm around the spiritual family and the older I get, seeing my family plug in to the spiritual family, more and more I know how much we need what God has given us as a family right here. And so let me just say up front, if you've been around on Sundays and you haven't taken that step to really plug in or connect relationally, you're missing out on the full experience, on the beautiful family that God wants you to be a part of. Our time together worshiping in here, it's critical for us. We need this for our hearts, for our souls, the large group that's there. It's biblical. He's called us together for worship. He's called us to dive into God's word through the preaching and teaching of it. It's in 2 Timothy. You can read all about it. There's no doubt. But we're going to see this morning that we can't stop there. As Christians or believers in Jesus, we've got to make sure that we're connected to other believers. And it's my son so unintentionally showed us we can be really close without being connected. When we open our Bibles and begin looking at specific believers, we can call them by name, right? As we look at specific believers by name in the Bible, we see them modeling this kind of connection to other believers. Paul and Timothy and Silas and Peter and James and John and Priscilla and Lydia, just work through the New Testament and you see these kind of relationships. In fact, when you're looking at followers of Jesus throughout the book of Acts, for instance, right, where the church is really forming and developing, you're not going to find a believer in Scripture that's not relationally connected in a real way to other believers, right? That's the design that God's given us. The formation of the church through the book of Acts, right? The history of the church, and we're still building on that history today, right? All through Acts, that's what you see. Believers connected to other believers, not just in large groups like this, but on a small and relational level as well. And here's what I know about that. Those kind of relationships, that kind of fellowship, it's not going to happen by accident. Right? It's a choice that we have to make. There's effort that we have to put forward to get to that. And if our desire is to live out what God's called us to live out, if it's to experience the model that he gives us into his word, it's a choice that we're going to make. If you're taking notes this morning, you can just write down at the top of your page, our title, it's simply Plug In. And we're going to dive into 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, to look at the model that God's word has for us. Verse 8 says this, "So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Let me give you some context on this verse here. Paul's the writer, the great missionary church planner, and this verse is found in a letter that he wrote to the church and Thessaloniki. Now, the church here is a church that Paul was instrumental in starting, right? He knew a lot of these people really, really well. On his missionary journey in Acts 17, you can see Paul goes into the city. He begins sharing the gospel with the people in the city. He's telling them the good news of Jesus all throughout the city. And as he does, God works in the hearts of people there. Many people begin to trust in Christ alone as their Savior. They connect with one another around the teaching of the Word of God. And in that moment, the church begins in that city. Now, Paul, right, as he was leading the church, had to leave the city a little bit earlier than he wanted. Because as people began following Christ in that city, there was another group of people in the city that were very much opposed to the gospel, opposed to the church there. They went after Paul, and they ended up running Paul out of town. But even in his short time there, we see the good news of Jesus move in people's hearts. Many are brought into a relationship with Christ, and the trust forms, right? Even though it was cut short, we've got to see here that God had Paul in that city for a reason. That's a side note, right? And it's just an encouragement for us. God has you where you are for a reason as well. Right, he has you in the family you're in for a reason. He has you at the job that you're at for a reason. He has you in the neighborhood that you're in for a reason. Students that are going back to school really, really soon, you're going to be in the classes you are in this year for a reason, right? God's put you there. God's put you there to be salt and light, just like Paul was in that city. But think about this. After Paul left the city, if you were to flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you'd see what happened to those believers. They lived through what Paul calls much affliction. How's that sound? How would you like to wake up every day and live a life that's characterized by what other people would call much affliction? Maybe you feel like you do. Maybe you feel like you're there now, and some of us might be, but the reality is our church as a whole is not where this church was. More than likely, we're not experiencing what they did. In Acts 17, we get a picture of what's happening in that church family after people trusted in Christ as Savior. Paul leaves the city. He's run out of town. That's when this affliction really starts. In Acts 17, we see mobs begin to roam that city, right? Houses of believers are targeted. Believers are dragged into the street. They're beaten. They're left there. Their possessions are stolen. Their money is stolen. People are on edge. They're sort of wondering, are we next? Is this about to happen to us as well? Some believers fled the city, but a lot of believers stayed right there. That's what's going on. And if you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, even in the midst of that, you see how these Christians continued to live their lives. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, we see that in the midst of what Paul calls much affliction, in the midst of these mobs, the believers there, the Christians, they were steadfast. They did not cave to the crowds. They were strong in their faith. They were full of joy, and their lives became examples to other believers in the region. They were committed to seeing other people trust in Christ far beyond their own city. If you look at verse 9, their lives, everything about them completely changed when they trusted in Christ as Savior. They went from a people that worshiped man-made idols to a people that placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. They went from a people that chased the earthly pleasures and the shiny things of this world to people that were looking ahead to eternity with Jesus, right? This is a big, big deal. So follow the chain of events in that city for just a minute. Paul shows up. He sees that idols and the flashy, shiny things of this world have captured the people's minds and hearts there. And he says, hey, listen, all of these things that you're chasing to fill that void in your heart and in your soul, it's not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. You might be satisfied for a moment, right? But you're going to be longing for more. You are made for more. You are made to know your Creator. You are made in the image of God to know God, to be in a relationship with God. And Paul says, I can tell you how to do that. It's through trusting in Jesus alone. Many of them trusted in Jesus alone, that their hearts were knit together as a church family. And even as Paul is run out of town, the believers in the city stay strong. They don't drift. They don't fall away. They don't cave, even though they were living through much affliction. They keep walking with Jesus. And if we're here today, I believe that we'd say that's our goal. Right, to faithfully walk with Jesus. I don't know that anyone here would say, you know what, in the next year or so, I think that I'd like to fall away from the faith and go my own way. I don't know that any of the students in here would say, hey, you know what, this is good for now, but when I go off to college, I'm going to be done with this and I'm going to live my way and not God's way. I don't know that any of us are looking ahead and making plans, you know, when we become empty nesters to say, you know, I'm going to raise my kids this way, but when they're out of the house, I'm going to drift off on my own. Right? Well, we're just not doing that. Because we know how important it is to faithfully walk with Jesus. We know that's where life and joy and peace and hope and purpose are found. It's in a relationship with Christ. We want to walk with Jesus like this church family here walks with Jesus. And again, as we think about that, I just want to point you back to verse 8. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you would become very dear to us. A good friend of mine, and maybe of many of you, Mike Taylor, he's got this phrase, and I just love it. It makes so much sense when you read God's word here. He says, the gospel moves at the speed of relationships, and he's so, so right. Right, as Paul shared with the people of Thessalonica as he's walking through the city, he's not hoping that people will memorize a bunch of facts, right, or get a bunch of information downloaded to them. He wants to understand it, but he knows that this is a faith thing, this is a heart thing, this is a relationship thing, first with Christ and then with other people that have trusted in Christ as well. Break this down. Look at the verse. First, he says, we were affectionately desirous of you. And we know that this is not a romantic desire. This is a relational, a friendship desire. We've all got this longing, whether we want to admit it or not. We've all got this longing in our hearts for friendships, for relationships with other people. God put it there, right? That is the way that you are made in the image of God, right? A communal, a relational God. He created us for relationships, first with him, made in the image of God, to know God, and then second with other people, right? Other people made in the image of God. Every single one of us, we desire these kind of friendships. It's just who God made us to be. Paul lived it out with the church family. And look at the second part of the verse. He didn't just want or desire these friendships. Or he took some action here, and he began to develop them. He said that we shared the gospel, but we also shared our lives with you. The connection that they had as a group of believers, it did not stop when the lesson was over. It didn't stop when the teaching was done. Well, we know, when we look at Acts 17, they studied together, they talked about Jesus together, they shared life together. It was all one big thing. The church was involved in like real friendship and fellowship in community. Their hearts were knit together. These were close people. They knew one another. They loved one another. They desired to spend time with one another. Chapter 1, again, as we sort of get a feel for who these people were, they were people that imitated Paul. Well, what did Paul do? He shared himself, right? His life with the body of believers. His heart and his soul, right? They're with the church there. He didn't hold back. He didn't keep people at arm's length. He didn't put walls up or distance himself from the people that he was studying the word around. He made relationships with people, a real part of his life, a priority in his life. And what happened? Well, as the church did that, spiritual growth happened. Gospel movement happened, right? The gospel advanced in their city and beyond. Individually, these believers grew in faith and joy and love in the really good times and in the times of much affliction. And those relationships continued to grow. Look at the end of the verse. It says, you had become very dear to us. Relationships develop over time. They grow over time. There's some patience and effort that are sort of mixed together in the midst of these friendships. We all need to understand that. That this really tight-knit group of believers in that church family, they did not go from stranger danger to best friends in one day, right? That there's growth in relationships. All relationships grow through time and through consistency. We're not going to build meaningful relationships by chance. It's intentional, right? Time, effort, consistency. And my prayer is that you'd see it in God's word, that you'd feel these kind of relationships. Because more than likely, if you're here, your goal is to walk with Jesus, to experience the love and the joy and the hope and the peace and the purpose that only comes from knowing him. And if you're here and that's not your goal this morning, I pray that you trust Jesus, right? That you'd know and understand you can have life in him and him alone. But we see it here. Christians, right? Everything changed about this group of people when Paul shared the gospel, right? That they trusted in Christ first. And as they were brought into the family of God because of their relationship with Christ, they developed these relationships with one another. And because they stayed connected to one another, they were pushing one another to continue to grow and stay faithful in their relationship with Christ. Listen, this morning, just know as someone that loves you and that cares about you and that wants God's very best for you, I'm praying that you would see the importance of having other Christians in your life that know you, that love you, that are friends with you, that will walk through life with you. The importance of being plugged in, not just being close, not just being present, but connected relationally to other believers, right? But for the sake of our hearts, for the sake of our souls, for the sake of our lives. This is so, so important. God didn't create any one of us to be alone, right? Go back to Genesis at the very beginning. Remember when God creates everything? He saw this and it was good. He saw this and it was good. He saw this and it was good over and over and over again until there's one time where God said it was not good. Remember that? It's not good for man to be alone. We were created in the image of God to be in relationships, first with God, no doubt about it, and then with other people made in the image of God. But we've got to be plugged in to other people in the family, right? And we're going to see that as we continue to flesh this out. But a model for that. Our model for that here in our church family, as I talked about it earlier, it's life groups. It's not the only model. There's several different ones, but it's a good model, and it's the model that we have here in our church family, and it's a place to develop these kind of relationships and to grow these kind of relationships throughout the course of your life. And I pray this morning that as we continue to walk through God's word that you'd see this matters for you. That this matters for your spouse, that this matters for your kids, and that you take the necessary action steps to ensure you're plugged in, or maybe you're sitting here plugged in and you sort of need to be like me in that plane. Maybe you need to take the necessary action steps to reach across the aisle and grab someone else and help them plug in to what God has for them here as well, right? Let me just tell you, right, two things that are going to happen in your life as you live this out and plug in to others. The first is this, right? You just need to understand that godly relationships will bless you. They will be a blessing in your life And as you continue to develop those relationships, you can talk to some of our older believers in here. They will tell you that many of them have relationships that have blessed him for the last several decades. Go hear the stories from them. I've got some friends in England. And they watch us online sometimes. Maybe they're watching now. Chris and Emily, if you are watching, just know that we love you guys. And one time, Emily posted this picture. And I want you to look at her caption there. She said, "If you know, you know." Right? You know what? If you know, you know what? Right? If you know, you know the cinnamon are really, really good. She posted it. Now, she'd had cinnamon here in the U.S. with us before. They were new in England when she posted that picture. Only a few of them existed over there. So she heard that there was one relatively close to where she lived. It was worth making the drive. We sort of, when she posted that, texted back and forth and laughed with her a little bit. And she said, and I quote, "It did not last long. If you know, you know." The same thing with these kind of deep, meaningful Christian friendships. If you've experienced the blessing from them, then you know what I'm talking about. You've had people love on you. You've had people care for you. You've had people encourage you. It's an unbelievable blessing. And I hope that in sharing the story of the church in Thessalonica, you've seen that kind of blessing, right? What it really means to be connected to other believers and the impact that it can have on our lives. But I want to share a few more blessings from it this morning. These godly relationships, sometimes in the church we say biblical community, right? These godly relationships or friendships that can be developed through life groups or other means here in the church family will bless you with three specific things this morning. I know there's way more than that, but I narrowed it down to three. First, they will bless you with spiritual growth and encouragement. Right? You'll be blessed with spiritual growth and encouragement. There's something about hanging around people that love Jesus. Have you noticed that? Right? People that are growing in their walk, people that are overflowing in their love for Christ. I mean, think about how it feels to be around people like that, and then think about why. Right? People that are walking closely and intimately with Jesus, more than likely, they're doing what Jesus said. And Jesus placed a really high priority for us on loving the people around us. I'm telling you, when you develop these kind of relationships, you will be blessed with an encouragement that spurs you on in your faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up." That's build one another up in the faith, just as you were in the habit of doing. Not only will you get spiritual growth and encouragement, when you connect to other believers, you're going to get accountability and protection as well. And that's a big, big deal in the world we live in today. I saw this picture not too long ago online. I think it's meant to be a joke, but there's a lot of truth to it. You see the lion going after the zebra that's separated from the herd there. Listen, it's a pretty accurate deal. We need to remember that as we go to God's word, you can flip over to 1 Peter, you can remember the words of Jesus. The Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion prowling around looking for those that he would devour. Jesus tells us that the devil's goal for our lives is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as we surround ourselves with other believers, we protect ourselves spiritually with accountability. We have people that love us, that care about us, that encourage us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Then think about that church that we've been studying this morning, the chaos in their city, how day in and day out they lived with fear and uncertainty and with much affliction. But still, right, that church was known for their faith. They kept on loving Jesus. And I'm telling you right now that the relationships they had with one another played a major role in their faithfulness, a major role in their steadfastness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on." We gotta encourage one another. Spur one another on towards what? Well, towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in their habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, I could share story after story. Story after story. Going back to that silly picture of people that were connected or that were close and then slowly became disconnected. People that intentionally made decisions and choices to no longer connect relationally to a group of believers. to sort of separate themselves or put a wall up or slowly sort of back away. And as they've begun to do that, they would take their eyes off of Jesus, off the Word of God and what He's called them to, and they didn't have accountability in their life to encourage them or to push them back. I'm telling you, I could give you sad story after sad story of people as they begin to isolate themselves, beginning to make decisions that didn't line up with the Word of God. Not major decisions at once, just sort of that slow fade. Decisions that ultimately would wreck their marriages. Decisions that ultimately would alienate themselves from their kids. Decisions that put them in a position that they never in their wildest dreams thought they would be in. And it started with isolation, with removing themselves from relationships with people that would speak the hard truths in their life when they needed it. Listen, I know myself. I know I need people in my life that'll hold me accountable, that'll speak up when they need to. And I know that you need it too. Right? That accountability that comes with these consistent relationships, it protects us. It protects our hearts. Make sure that you are connected to godly people. They'll bless you with accountability. Sometimes it's hard. But they'll bless you with accountability that will shape and protect your life. I only have a few more minutes, and so I can't share all the blessings of being connected to other believers like this, but I do want to share one more. Well, when you're connected with other believers like this, you're going to be overwhelmed with love and support in those times in your life when you really need it. This sort of goes back to that phrase, you know, if you know, you know. If you've been in a hard season of life and experienced the love and support that comes from Christian friends here in the church family, you know there's nothing like it. And a lot of us have been there and needed that love and support. Just think about the last 5 years, what people in this church family have gone through. If you go back 5 years ago, we're in the middle of COVID, right? It's been 5 years. The love and support that was shared there. And since then, floods and freezes and bursting pipes and people that have needed meals and people that have had help with their kids and with their families. We've had hurricanes come through and generators and AC units and just all of the different things that people have rallied together to help one another with. I mentioned it a few weeks ago in that sermon on brotherly affection. People in our church giving organ, like kidneys, to other people in the church family. I'm telling you. Right, that the love and support you receive from a church family when you are truly plugged in, it cannot be matched anywhere else in this world. Last week, Pastor Jarrett shared from Mark chapter 2 about four friends that picked up the corner of the mat and they took their one friend to Jesus. And our lesson in that was do whatever it takes to get the people in our lives to Jesus. You remember that? Right, do whatever it takes. If we got to pick somebody up to get them there, we'll pick them up to get them there. If we got to tear the roof off a house to get them there, we'll tear the roof off a house to get them there. The message was one more, right? One more person to Jesus. And it's a great message, and we need to be doing that day in and day out. What does it take to get the people around me to Jesus? But we also need to remember there's going to be seasons of our life when we're on the mat, seasons of our life when we're hurt. When we're struggling, when we cannot get through what we are going through alone, maybe it's a diagnosis, maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational, maybe there's fractures in our, there's gonna be seasons where we need people around us, friends that are willing to come alongside us in our grief, in our hurt, and to pick up that mat for us. Friends that will take us where we need to go, that will carry us through those difficult seasons. We've got to develop those kind of relationships in our life so that when we are down, we can have the church around us doing what the church is called to do, loving and supporting us in those difficult seasons. Listen, if you're here and you're looking at this church, Thessaloniki, right, and you're seeing what it's really like and the blessing that comes from these kind of relationships, I just want to encourage you, right, to take that step and just know that you'll be blessed, and all of this is really, really good, right? But as we close, let me just throw you a curveball real quick, right? Everything that we've talked about is good for us, for every single one of us. Everything that we've talked about will benefit us. It's God's design, it's for His glory, it's for our good. But this morning, as we think about how great it is to be blessed in all of those special ways, we need to remember the words of Jesus in Acts 20:35. It says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, where he himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Right, you're going to get this incredible blessing from being connected to other believers, right? That there's no doubt about it, right? We see it all through God's word. If you're hearing this morning and thinking, nah, that's not for me, I don't need all that, let me just say that you're wrong. But even if you were right, I'm just asking you to think beyond that for a minute, right? I'm asking you to think about other people. Right, to do what Jesus said here and to give those blessings to the people around you, because that's the second point I want to make this morning. It's just this: godly relationships aren't going to bless you, that they're going to bless you and they're going to bless others. As a believer in Jesus, remember that you are part of something that is much bigger than yourselves. The Bible describes us as one body made up of many, many parts, and we need every part working and functioning and doing their thing for the entire body to be strong. Ephesians 4, verse 16, it talks about how we all come together and the body is held together by these many parts, and when every part is functioning the way it's supposed to, that the body of Christ builds itself up in love. And so when we're here and not plugged in to other believers, not only are we missing out individually, but the rest of the church is hurt as well, right? As a part of the body of Christ, as Christians, we need to be in here looking around, asking ourselves the question, what can I do that's going to help somebody else grow? What can I do to plug in that's going to be a blessing to someone else? Remember, Jesus says it's better to give than it is to get, and all those blessings that we just talked about. I'm asking you to follow the example that we see here in Scripture and to plug in so that you can bless others. And who knows, maybe you just being present, connecting, could make all of the difference in someone else's spiritual growth. You never know how God is going to use you when you take that step and plug in. So much could be missed in your life, in the life of our church family, and the lives of people that are going to walk in here over the course of the next year if you're not willing to bless others by getting connected. And you might think, it doesn't matter for me. I don't have that much to offer. Let me just say that's not true. With confidence, I can say if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you're a part of the family of God, as a child of God, you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ that changed you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You have the Word of God flowing from you. You have spiritual gifts that he has given you for the building up of the body of Christ. And that's the goal. Back to our examples, Paul and the church family there. This is a group of believers that's growing, that's walking with Jesus, that's changing the world around them, and that's the goal. And they did it connected in relationships with one another. My kid was close. He was close on that plane. He was missing out. He didn't have the full experience. And in the same way, we can be close, right, and still missing out on the best. Paul's words, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also our very selves, because you would become so very dear to us. This morning, here's the action steps as we leave. There's only two, right? If you're close and not plugged in, your action step is to plug in. All right, I'd encourage you, join a life group. Kickoff Sunday is next week. It's the Sunday that's designed for new people to plug into a group. Action step two, if you are plugged in relationally to other people, man, reach across the aisle like I did with my kid, right? And help someone else plug in. After the service, just walk through the atrium there. Introduce yourself to people that you don't know. Help them plug in. If you're not plugged in and you want to, man, find one of those booths. Listen to the different life groups that are there. Talk to different people. Get to know them and make plans next week, maybe for the first time, to plug in relationally with other people here and the family. You'll be blessed, and I know that you'll be a blessing as well. Would you pray with me this morning? If we bow our heads this morning again, two action steps. Just think through what's God calling you to now. If you know that you're close, not quite there, I want to encourage you, get before the Lord right now. Don't put that off. Thank him for the way that he created you in his image to know him and to know others. If you've trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, thank him for adopting you into the family. And make a commitment now before him and to really get to know the family and to be a part of what God's doing amongst other believers. If you're here this morning and you are plugged in, and thank God for the blessing of that. Thank God for the family that he's given you of believers. Thank him for the accountability, the encouragement, the support, the love that you get from other Christians. Thank him for the blessing. And ask him to help you sort of see maybe a little bit differently so that you can help other people plug in as well. All right, we want to be a church family that looks like the church families we see here in Scripture, connected to one another, loving Jesus with all that we have, and loving one another just like he showed us. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the love that you've shown us. Thank you that you don't call us to do this alone. Thank you, Lord, that you designed your church and that we get to be a part of it, Father. God, I pray that all of us would continue to grow those relationships with one another in a way that honors you and glorifies you. God, and I pray that as you knit us together as a family, Lord, that we would love and support one another just like you've called us to. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.